I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to go to Luke chapter 8 tonight. Luke chapter 8. And preacher, which one should I grab here? Does it matter?
I don't think the yellow one's on here.
Okay. Is this one on here? Yeah, the green light's on. There you go. And can you give me some more? Just a little more. There you go, right there. I want to bring a message to you in Luke chapter 8 verse 40. And let's stand out of respect to the word of God here and Luke chapter 8 verse 40. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 40, that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, I'm not preaching on this part of this verse, but I want you to log in the back of your mind that part of that verse where it says, for they were all waiting for him. You see that? I want you to just keep that. I'm going to come back in a little bit and make a statement about that. In verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Now, I'll be honest with you. I sense a little sarcasm there. Amen. I sense a little sarcasm in the disciples there with Jesus. You know, Jesus, don't you know who touched you? You know what I'm saying? And they were a little fumble about this thing right here. But the Bible says verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spake, the company, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. And we see the Bible says there in verse 49, while he yet spake, verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Let's pray tonight. Father, I come to you now. And Lord, if I ever need your power, oh God, I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, the Holy Spirit, use me, fill me, control me, take every part of me, and fill me with the fullness of the power of God. Use me tonight. Please take complete control. And everything that's said, my God and my, the Lord Himself, get the glory. Thank you for what you're going to do. And I promise you, Lord, we'll give you the praise. In your precious, holy, wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated tonight. When I was... Many of you heard the story this morning. You heard the story of what my wife and I went through. But before she died, my wife, before she had died, one morning, I, I, Well, every morning I wake up early. Every morning I was raised on tobacco farms. When I was a boy, we used to get up at 4:30 in the morning, take tobacco out of the barns. See, down there we smoke it, dip it, chew it, and spit it. Amen. Amen. Now but it was our livelihood. We didn't know any better. Amen. And like I told the brother today, smoking don't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we would get up early and we worked hard. We worked hard as a boy, and thank God I had a dad taught me how to work. Amen. That taught me how to work hard. After I left those days, it's like an alarm clock or a rooster goes off of me at 4:30 every morning. My wife, I always tell her, I'm going to sleep in the morning. And she said, no, you're not. Amen. And, I usually wake up around 4:30 or 5. But I get up and it's a great time to walk with God. It's a great time to walk with God. I love walking with my God every morning. This special morning I got up and I was walking with God, had my prayer time, my Bible reading and all that stuff. And then about daybreak I went outside, was doing some chores around our house. It's when I lived in Michigan. And I was doing some chores I came back in the front door. And when I came, you know, normally I come in the back door, but this special morning, I came in the front door, and when I got in the front door, my wife was sitting in her favorite chair. We bought her a special chair because, you know, with bone cancer is very painful, and she could be very uncomfortable, but I came in from behind, and she didn't see me. She didn't see me come in. And my wife was doing something weird. I mean, she was doing something weird. You say, well, what's so different about that? My wife does weird things all the time. Amen. But she was doing something weird. She was sitting on the edge of the chair and she was doing like this. She was just doing like this. And I thought, what in the world is wrong with my wife? You know, I thought maybe she might be hallucinating. She was on morphine real strong, and sometimes we'd have to go back to the doctor, readjust her morphine, you know, because she'd hallucinate real bad. Well, she was sitting there doing like this. She was sitting there just doing this weird thing. Well, I was a little worried she's going to fall out of the chair and break a bone or something, you know. So I go to the side of the chair. And when I got to the side of the chair, I looked. And she had her old King James Bible, that old Bible I remember was tattered, this old tattered Bible she had when she was back at Hiles Anderson College. She went the first year Hiles Anderson was open to college, and she graduated there and got her master's and came down there where I was at and taught in school. But she had marked that Bible up. She had that Bible all marked up, you know, highlighted and everything. You know, when God gave her a verse, she'd highlight that verse, and then she would save that. She would save those verses, and she liked to read those verses over. That's the reason why when God gives you a verse, you want to highlight it, put it in your treasure chest. Amen? Because there's going to come a day you're going to need that verse. And so tears were running down her cheek, preacher. I mean, tears. Her old face was soaking wet with tears. And she was on the edge of her chair doing like this. And so I went around and said, honey, I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she said, yes. She said, I was just reading these verses that you and I just read. And she said, and I was reading about this woman that reached out and touched Jesus. And she said, I thought if I could just touch Jesus that maybe He would heal me, amen, and maybe He would do a miracle in my life. And she said, and Craig, she said, I want to touch Him. God knows my heart. I want to touch Him. I'm trying to touch Him, and He knows my heart. And all of a sudden, I felt the desperation starting to come in her voice. You know, I could hear it in her voice. And And she said, I want to touch him. He knows I want to touch him. And then all of a sudden she started panicking. It was almost she was going in a panic mood. And she said, I want to touch Jesus. And she said, then she asked me this question, preacher, which I never, you know, these are questions that you didn't learn in Bible college and, you know, you didn't learn somewhere else. But she said, Craig, she said, how can I touch him? I want to touch him. He knows my heart. I want to touch Jesus. And she said, how can I touch him? Don't he know I want to touch him? And then she started, and then finally I saw the desperation and the panic almost in her action. And so I immediately went over there and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know how to answer her question. Amen. I didn't know how to answer her question. I didn't know what to tell her. And I said, so I reached over and I put my arms around her and I just started hugging her just as soft as I could because I couldn't squeeze her too tight because her bones so brittle. But I kissed her. I remember kissing her on the forehead and I said, it's okay, honey. It's okay. God knows. God knows your heart. He knows that you want to touch him, honey. It's okay. And after a little bit, finally she calmed down and she fell asleep in her chair. She fell asleep in her chair. Preacher, I remember that day I went in our bedroom and I shut the door and I laid flat on my face on the floor and wept. I just wept. I laid flat on my face on that floor and I started weeping. And I said, God, I don't understand. I said, God, here's a woman that wants to touch you, God. Here's a woman that wants to get your attention, God. And I began to think about it. And I said, God, she wants to get your attention. And all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit of God, He began to speak to me. And I know when God's speaking to me. And he's began to speak to me about, and this is what he said. He said, how come it is that she wants to touch me so bad? How come you don't? How come you don't want to get a hold of me that bad? And all of a sudden, it came to my mind that God wanted me to have that desire too. God wanted me to have that desire. You see in the Bible, stay with me, in the Bible, you remember that first verse? It said, for they were all waiting for him. They were all waiting for him. You know what? That's the problem in our churches today. That's the problem. We're all waiting on a miracle. We're all waiting for God to do something. We're all waiting, just waiting, just waiting. We're waiting. We're just showing up waiting to see what's going to happen, if revival's going to happen. We're just waiting. No, we don't need any more waiters. We need some getters. Amen. We need some women that'll fight. We need some men and women and children that will get to God. Amen. Get to God. This woman got to God. Amen. Hey, we need somebody. Hey, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if Bible Baptist Church got God's attention? I'm talking about that big God. I'm talking about that God that spoke and the galaxies existed. I'm talking about that God that spoke and the world existed. I'm talking about the God that spoke and the world hung upon nothing. Hey, that woman got that God's attention. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if this church got God's attention and a miracle or revival broke out? Amen. And God did something in this church. Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see God? Wouldn't you like to see God? Y'all got God's attention. Amen. Why? You know what it's going to take? You getting to God. You getting to God. Not waiting on God to do something. Not waiting on God to bring revival. No, you're going to have to get to God. You're going to have to get God's attention. Can I have amen? Amen. You're going to have to get God's attention. How are you going to get God's attention? How are you going to do it? Well, you know what? I looked at this woman and I saw how she got God's attention. I watched her and saw how she got God's attention. I mean, out of all those people, that one woman got his attention. Now there were probably hundreds and thousands of people there and they were touching him. They were touching him. But they were just bumping into him. Their hearts wasn't really to, you know what it was? That woman wanted to get to God. Now, as I was laying on that floor that morning, God began to put some thoughts on my mind how I can touch Jesus. How I can touch Him. And I said, Lord, show me how I can touch Jesus. I grabbed my pen, my ink pen, and I grabbed the envelope off the dresser. I've written sermons on all kinds of pieces of paper. Amen. I've written them on the back of placemats, napkins, paper towels. I mean, when God gives me a thought, I write it down. Can I have amen? Because I'm getting older and I can't remember things. How many of you have that problem? Amen. And it's not a bad thing. You can hide your own Easter eggs now. Amen. 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 Now y'all laugh about that. You laugh about that. But this past, about 2 years ago, I hid my grandson's Easter eggs. And I hid my grandson's, and he kept saying, Pawpaw, where's the eggs? I couldn't remember. Amen. But my son found them when he mowed the grass. Amen. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, y'all heard about, I'll get in a message in a minute, I just thought of a joke. Y'all heard about three old sisters that lived together. Three old sisters lived together. One got up, one was upstairs and got one foot in the bathtub and had one out. And she said, am I getting in or I getting out? And the old sister going up the steps, you know, she got halfway up and she said, am I going up or am I going down? She said, am I going up or am I going down? And about that time, the old sister at the kitchen table, she said, boy, I sure am glad I'm not forgetful, you know, like them. You know, knock on wood, she's not on the kitchen table. She said, was that the front door or the back door? Amen. That's about the way it's getting with me. Amen. But what I'm saying, I took that pen and I grabbed that envelope and I wrote down four things on that paper that God gave me that day. And I'm going to give them to you tonight. Wouldn't you like to get God's attention tonight? Hey, church, wouldn't you like to get God's attention? Wouldn't it be great if I'm talking about that big God of this universe. I'm talking about that God that spoke and the stars existed. Can I have amen? I'm talking about the God that spoke and the trees existed. I'm talking about the God. Wouldn't it be great if you got His attention right here in this town? Amen? What kind of miracle you think God could do in your church? What kind of miracle you think God could do in your church? Well, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get God's attention. Now, let me tell you how you're going to do it. And I believe this, and I've seen this happen. The first thing, let me give it to you. And by the way, they're very simple. They're very simple. And let me say this. My preacher used to say, when you preach, put the cookies on the lower shelf so they can reach it. Amen. And so I'm putting it down here. It's very simple. First of all, have faith in God. Now let me stop here just a minute. Okay? Let me stop here just a minute. You say, Brother Brian, I know that. I know to have faith in God. I know that. We know that, right? We know. By the way, that's what it took to get saved. Amen. All right. But can I tell you something tonight? I'm going to go a little bit further on this matter of faith tonight. Okay? The Bible says faith without works is dead. Now, it only takes faith. It's not faith plus works to be saved. Can I have amen? It only takes faith to be a Christian. Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? It only takes faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Amen. But it does take faith plus works to be a good Christian. Amen. Bible says faith without works is dead. That's talking to Christians. That's not talking to lost people. Can I have amen? And the book of James? The book of James was written to Christians. It was written to Christians. Look. Any time you see faith in the Bible being done, you see, you know what happens? When man act, God reacted. Man had to act first. Can I have amen? You remember Abraham? You remember Abraham? You remember God told Abraham, He said, I want you to go into the land of Moriah, and I want you to take your son. That son they prayed for what, 90-some years? I mean, look, they were in their 90s when they had their child. Hey, how many of you elderly people are praying for another child? Amen? Amen? We're praying, oh no, Lord, don't do that to me. Amen? Hey, but can I tell you something? They prayed for that child, and God gave them Isaac. God gave them Isaac. Now God's telling them, take his son and kill him. Is everybody, that just don't make sense to me. Amen? But you know what God wanted to do? He wanted to see some works with Abraham's faith. He wanted to see if he really believed God. Amen? And so what he did, Abraham could have stayed over here, stayed home, and said, now God, you know I believe in you. You know I have faith in you. God said, I want to see it. He said, I want you to take your son, go to the land of Moriah. I'll show you the mount to go to. And he said, I want you to go up there and build an altar, lay your son on that altar and sacrifice him. Now, but you know what old Abraham did? He obeyed God. He got on those donkeys and took those two young men with him, and they went on a several day journey, went to the land of Moriah. He took his knife, he took his wood, he took everything, supplies with him. He went up that mount, he built that altar, he laid his son on. Don't you know he loved that son? He loved that son, but yet he believed God. Amen. And he raised that knife up to pierce that. Now when he raised that knife up to pierce that boy's heart, and he was getting ready to come down, all of a sudden the angels of the Lord said, whoa, Abraham, we know that thou fearest God now. You know what they're saying? We know you believe God now. We know. And God provided. Amen. God provided a ram over there. Amen. And that he could sacrifice. You know why? You've never seen that miracle of God providing if Abraham had not acted. He acted. You've got to act. You've got to act in faith. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you believe in soul winning? How many of you believe in it? You believe in it? Okay, well let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are doing it? This boy got quiet in here. Don't bow your head. We're not praying. Amen. Well, then what good is it going to do if you believe something but don't act upon it? Hey, it's not going to do it. The devils believe. Can I have amen? They believe. But let me tell you something. You know what? You've got to put some action with your faith. You believe in soul winning? Go soul winning. Show God I believe in it. Show. How about tithing? How about, oh yes, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving to the church. Amen. I believe in it. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you are doing it? You see what I'm saying? Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? I'm serious. Hey, how about being faithful to church? You believe in going to church? Believe going to church? Are you doing it? You being faithful to church? You being faithful to the house of God? Can I have amen? How about reading the Bible? How about, you believe the Bible is the Word of God? You believe it? Then the Bible says you'll study that book. You'll read that book. What good is it going to do to believe something and not read it? Amen? And act upon it. Amen? Hey, how about prayer? You believe in prayer? You believe in prayer? Hey, did you get up this morning and even say, hi, God? Boy, I'm telling you what, boy, it's getting rough in here tonight. Amen. Hey, did you even say hello to God today? He's your Father. He's your Father. He's your God. He saved you from hell. Hey, He lives in you. Can I have amen? You say, well, I believe in prayer. You hear what I'm saying, folks? See, action, anywhere you see in the Bible, faith is in action. Faith is going on. It's in Jericho. Joshua marched seven times around there. He had to put it in action to believe God. Can I have amen? Hey, David had to sling the rock. I mean, what if he stepped back? Well, I know God will kill the giant. Come on. Are y'all with me? Amen. Am I the one that don't see this? Amen. And I don't want to see this? Can I have amen? Hey, anywhere you see in the Bible that faith, that person says, I believe God, they're putting it in action. You see, when you act, God reacts. He said, ask and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Can I have amen? I'm telling you what, that's the God I serve tonight. That's the God. Hey, I'm telling you what, if you're going to get God's attention, you're going to have to put some action with your faith tonight. You're going to be, if you don't, your church is going to be dead. You say, well, yeah, I believe in soul winning. I go to churches all over the place that believe in soul winning, but don't do it. And their church is dead. Their church is dead. Amen. You got to put some action with that. Years ago, God told me, he said, I want you to go to Athens, Georgia and start a church. It was very clear God was showing me. He wanted me to go to Athens, Georgia and start a church. And all I had, I had my four kids and my wife. I had an old station wagon that sounded like a logging truck. I'm not kidding. That old station wagon, you could hear it coming down the road. Bop, 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 bop. You could hear us coming down the road. And I'm not kidding. That's all I had. And I remember somebody rented a U-Haul trailer for us to pull our stuff down to Athens, Georgia. Brother, I had about $200 in my pocket. That's all I had. I had about $200. And I'll never forget, we lugged everything we could in that trailer. And we couldn't get everything in there. We packed it in the cars. I couldn't get my couch in that trailer, so we stuck that couch out the back of my station wagon. You could see that couch sticking out the back of my station wagon. And all you could see, we just stick our kids in the crevices, amen, of that station wagon. And I'm not kidding. We just put our kids around in holes we could find. And all you could see is their eyeballs looking out the window. And brother, we headed out. We headed out by faith. We were going down the road. Bye, 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 bye. You could hear. Thank God for clothes hangers. Amen. I could tie that muffler up many times. My wife, when we were on the way down the road, my wife said, honey, I got a question to ask you. I said, what is it, honey? She said, where are we going to live? That's something I forgot to take care of. Amen. No, I didn't know where we were going to live. I said, honey, and she said, where are we going to live? Well, let me help you, ladies and men, ladies, let me help you. Men, when you don't know how to answer a question, this is how you answer. When your wife asks you a question like that, I just looked at my wife and said, honey, just be quiet and trust God. Because I had no idea where we were going to live. I had no idea where we were going to live. We get there in Athens, Georgia at 11:30 on a Friday night. We got there in Athens, Georgia on Friday night. And preacher, I'll never forget, we crossed the city limit sign, and right on the right, there was a trailer park. We had $75 left in our pocket the time I got to Athens, Georgia. And in the middle of that trailer park was a beautiful two-story home, a beautiful home right in the center of that trailer park. Well, I went in there. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go get us a mobile home to live in. She said, you can't do that. She said, we don't have but $75. How are you going to do that? And she, you know, she was taking off, you know. And so finally I said, honey, just be quiet and trust God. Because I had no idea it was going to work neither. And I'll never forget, brother, I came up to that house and I knocked on the door that night. We pulled up there, that station, that couch sticking out the back of our station wagon, U-Haul trailer, kids looking out the window. And I knocked on the door, brother. I knocked on the door, and I'm not kidding. This little lady came to the door and she looked like a Georgia Bulldog. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. She was a little round lady, round lady. She had real little arms and little legs, and she looked like a potato with toothpicks stuck in it. I'm not kidding. And she had short hair, real short hair. Her skin, she even had flabby jaws like a bulldog, you know. And she had rough skin, and she had on short hair like a man, almost like a man, and had short shorts on. It was a sight to behold, amen, sight to behold. And her name was Joanne Reynolds, and I hope she don't get this tape, amen, but her name was Joanne Reynolds. And so I told her who I was. I introduced myself and told her who I was and what I was doing and how I was starting the church. And I'll never forget that little bulldog-looking lady, buddy. She looked at me when I got done. That lady, she had bad knees, kind of. Well, she wobbled to the edge of the porch. She kind of wobbled over to the edge of the porch, and she looked out there, and that station, that couch sticking out the back, and that U-Haul trailer, and my kids were looking out the window, and my kids waved at her, and she waved back at them. My wife waved at her, and she waved back at my wife. She came wobbling back. She wobbled back over to where I was at. And she looked at me, brother. She looked at me and just kind of dropped her head and went like that. She went wobbling back second time over to the edge of that porch. She looked out there, and my kids waved at her again. And she waved back at my kids. She come wobbling back. She wobbled back over to where I was at. She looked at me, brother. And she dropped her head and shook her head. She wobbled back over there three times that lady wobbled back over the edge of that porch and looked out there, and that couch sticking out. My kids waved at her again. But this time when she came back, she had tears in her eyes. She said, let me tell you something. She said, my mom and dad were missionaries all their life. She said they served in Indonesia. And she said they gave their whole life to serving God. And then they had no Social Security. They had no retirement. They had nothing. But they gave their whole life to serving God in Indonesia. And she said, and they got sick. And so what I did, I brought my mom and dad back home. I had to buy the plane ticket. She's telling me that. She said I had to buy the plane ticket and bring them all the way home. And she said, I got them home, and they were sick. And I had to carry them to the doctor and get them better. And I built this place on top of my house, a beautiful three-bedroom, two full baths, beautiful kitchen, dining room, living room area. She said, I built it on top of my house. And she said, I took care of my mom and dad. I built that for them until the day they died. And she said, the day they died, she said, I told God after they died that I would not rent this place out to anybody, but I would let a servant of God stay here free. And she said, God has sent you here tonight. And she said, and I know that God sent you here, and to God be the glory. She said, you can stay here free. She said, you can stay here. We won't charge you and everything. Now, I did end up paying her something, giving her stuff, but she told me, I don't want a dime from you. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Hey, and then after that, that little bulldog lady helped me unload that couch out of the back of that station wagon. And we moved our stuff. She told my kids, you go to my refrigerator and get anything you want. That was a mistake. Amen. They cleaned them out. Amen. And we moved everything into that house that night. About 1:30 in the morning, she came over and she said, come out here in the driveway. We walked out the driveway. She said, look across the street there. There was 15 tandem trucks sitting over there. 15 tandem trucks, whole asphalt and stuff like that. She said, you ever driven one of those? I said, no, ma'am, but I drove a concrete truck. She said, you got your CDLs? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I own that place. You got it. She looked like a truck driver, amen. And I told her, She said, you got a job starting Monday morning. Folks, let me tell you what I believe happened. Let me tell you what I believe happened. I believe that God, I believe Jesus was sitting on the throne of heaven, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he heard something go, bah, 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 and he thought, what in the world is that? Amen. And I believe he walked over to the portals of heaven and leaned over that edge of heaven, and he saw that station wagon going down there with a cow sticking out the back, those four kids' eyeballs looking out the window, and he said, look at that old boy. He believes me. He believes me. He believes me. Amen. And I'm going to bless him. Amen. Hey, you know how you're going to get God's attention? Is put your faith in action. Amen. And believe God. Amen. And then you get God's attention. Amen. I believe tonight that what we need is more Christians. Don't wait on God to do it. You put it in action. Amen. You put your soul winning in action. You put your prayer life in action. Amen. You put your Bible reading in action. Amen. You put your just being a good Christian in action and believing God. Amen. And your tithing in action and your missions in action. And you're going to see God provide. Amen. And God do a miracle. I believe tonight that first of all, that's how you get God's attention. Number two, very simple. You just keep pressing on. I said you just keep pressing on. This woman was sick. I know what it is. She basically had leukemia. I believe that's what she had is leukemia. She had a blood disease. Is everybody with me? And my wife, that's what my wife had. Her type of disease was a leukemia. That's what it was. And I've seen how weak my wife's got. Brother, there was times that, I'm not kidding, that I would lay my wife, she would lay her Bible on her chest, and she couldn't even lift her arms to turn the pages of her Bible. And I would turn the page. She said, okay. And I would turn the pages of her Bible because she couldn't even lift her hands to turn the pages of her Bible when she read her Bible. You say, Brother Brian, what are you saying? I'm saying this woman had to be weak. Amen. Don't you know this woman was tired? Don't you know this woman got weary? Don't you know that? But the Bible says she pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the crowd. Amen. She pressed on through. Let me tell you what the Christian life is. Can I tell you the Christian life is a pressing on thing? Can I tell you that? I didn't say depressing. Can I have amen? I didn't say it's depressed. And if you don't believe me, Paul said, I press towards the mark. I press towards the mark. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're going to be a good a Christian that gets God's attention, God's going to look down and see you pressing on. Amen. When you're tired, when you're hurt, when you're wounded, when things are not going right, you're going to keep pressing on. Amen. You're going to keep pushing on for God. I played football 9 years. I love football. I love football. Did I tell y'all I love football? Amen. I love the broken noses. I love the broken bones. I love the blood and everything. You say, long as it's not mine, amen. Long as it's not mine. And I love football. I played 9 years football. I had a scholarship to the University of North Carolina. Played football with Lawrence Taylor there. And I love football. I love it. But did I tell y'all I love football? Amen. Well, when I was in high school, we played this team called East Rowan. It's East Rowan. And they had a running back named Rick Van Hoy. I just preached in a church recently, and a lot of his cousins and nephew were there. Rick weighed 240 pounds. He weighed 240 pounds. He was a running back. Running backs are not supposed to be that big. Amen. And I'm telling you, he was like hitting that telephone pole out there. He was hard as a brick. But he weighed 240 pounds, fast, strong, the bull. He went to Carolina and played football. But Rick Van Hoy, we played him in football. Well, they were beating us 28-7 at halftime. They were beating us. Well, during that first half there, something happened. They run a play. Now let's just forget the Bible right now. We're going to talk football. Amen. All right. But when football, I was defensive tackle. I was a pretty big guy. I weighed close to 300 pounds then myself. But I was a big guy then. And I played nose guard. And the defense, well, I was moved over from the guard. The guy was supposed to be blocking me. He's supposed to block me, keep me from getting to the quarterback, messing things up, and make the tackle line. His job is to block me out of the way so they can move the ball. Well, the ball, they come to the line, they hike the ball. When they hike the ball, the guy in front of me is supposed to be blocking. He took off running down the line. He just took off. My hole is open, and right there's the quarterback with the ball. And I go, I said, I'm going to hit you. And I'm going to hit you hard. And I'm going to hurt you. Well, I go running in there. This is a free shot. This is a free shot at that quarterback. Well, I go running in there. And when I get, by the time I get right there at him, what I didn't know, they were sending a guy. They were sending the guy down the line as a trick play. And he come from side. The offensive end came running down the play, run down there. You're not going to outdo me, Train. Amen? Amen? And he come running down the side there, and he cold-cocked me from the side. Does anybody know what cold-cock means? That's a solid hit. And he hit me from the side. He knocked my helmet up on my head like this. When he did, I had no protection. They handed the ball off to that moose, Rick Van Hoy. He runs straight into me like this. He knocked my nose over here. I'm not kidding. It's broke. I can't smell nothing now. So if you stink, it don't matter. Amen. It don't matter. I can't smell now. My wife said, "Does this smell good?" This bird, it's great. I can't smell it. Amen. And I broke my nose, knocked my nose over here. I'm not kidding. This tooth is a partial tooth. It broke it out. It was gone. I thought he broke my shoulder, but it was dislocated. Well, can I tell you something? It hurt. Amen. It hurt. And I remember going to the sideline, and my coach was a drill sergeant in the Army. He was a drill sergeant in the Army. He had no compassion. Amen? No compassion. And I go run. He couldn't coach today. They wouldn't let him coach. He's too mean. But I go to the sideline. It is funny. We went to state championship 3 years in a row with it. But I went to the sideline, and I go, "Hey, coach. Coach, I said, my nose is broke. I said, my tooth is gone. I said, my shoulder's broke." And I'll never forget that coach. He looked at me, and he did like this. He said, "How many fingers I got up?" I said, "Two." He said, "You're all right. Get back in there and play." And I went back in, dumb enough to believe I was all right. And I played the rest of that game with a broke nose, my tooth gone, blood, and my shoulder broke. And I couldn't even use this one side. I had to use one arm the rest of the game. But the thing about it is, we came back and we won that game. We beat them 30-something, like 32-28 or something like that. We won that game. I remember we were throwing the coaches in the shower afterwards. I tried to drown Coach Deal, amen. But you say, what are you trying to say? That's the way life is. There's going to come time in life, and the devil's going to make sure of this, that you're going to get broadsided. And there's going to things hit you in this life that's going to hurt you. Amen. And it's going to hit you from the side. You don't expect it. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it can hit you hard. Amen. And it can knock the wind out of you. Amen. And it can wound you and it can hurt you. But I'll tell you what. Well, I'll tell you how you're going to get God's attention, though. Look, I didn't expect my wife to get cancer. I didn't expect her to die with cancer. I didn't expect all these things. But I'll tell you what I believe God did. He looked down. He said, look at that old boy. He's still pressing on. Amen. He still believes God. He's still preaching. He's still winning souls. He still loves me. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's why God blesses. Amen. And that's how you get God's attention, when you become a church that just keeps pressing on. Amen. When you're wounded and you're hurting. Number three. I got to move quickly. Number three. I believe that if you're going to get God's attention, this woman came to Jesus. This will be a quick one. When he came to Jesus, this woman did. The Bible says she fell at his feet and trembled and fell at his feet. You know, did you know that you can't do anything without God? Did you know that? You can't even breathe without God. Did you know that? Did you know God controls every breath you take? And He can take it just like that. He can take it just like that. I don't know about you, but I can't do a thing without God. And the older I get, the more I realize that. I can't do anything without God. I ride the roads and say, God, I need you, God. I need you, God. I was sitting in the hospital one day and listened to my wife fight for her life, preacher. Just fighting for her life. And I said, God, if I ever need you, I need you now, God. And I was looking out the window. Over Ann Arbor there, they had a river going through Ann Arbor, Michigan. And my wife, I could hear her back there. And I sit there and looked out that window. And I just began to talk to God and said, God, I need you, God. And I began to sing that song. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every second I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And I was sitting there singing that song, and I didn't know it, but a sweet little nurse had slipped in, brought some medicine. And she said, I had my back to my wife, and I was looking out the window, and she said, Pastor? I turned around. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were in here. She said, I heard you singing. I said, well, I'm sorry. She said, oh, no, Pastor, it was good. She said, Pastor, I heard you singing that song. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, honey, I've never been so good in all my life. I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that cares about me. And she looked at me and she said, well, Pastor, she said, I need him too. I need him too. I said, come on over here. Come on over here. I said, you need him? She said, yes. And I took the Bible there and showed her, and she got saved right there. Did you know you can't do anything without God? You can't do anything without God. And you just be totally dependent upon God. And God, you'll get God's attention. Amen. And number four, and last of all, preachers, when I tell this one, I believe they're all important, but God showed me this that day laying on my face. God showed me this. And when I saw it, I couldn't believe. I've never heard a sermon on it. Never heard. All the preachers I've heard for 40 years, I never heard anybody point this truth out. But God showed me this truth from the Bible that day. When that woman was getting to Jesus to touch Jesus. Now stay with me. If you want to be a church to get God's attention, what do you want to be a church to get God's attention? Where the power of God falls and souls more. I mean, revival. Isn't this what this is all about? Amen. Revival. Well, was that woman was trying to press on to Jesus, get to Jesus, get His attention. Before, now listen to this. Boy, this is good. This is good. God showed me this. Before she could touch Jesus, she had to touch others first. You know what? You'll never be a church that gets God's attention until you learn to touch others first. I was traveling from when I was pastor in Michigan, and I just found out my wife didn't have long to live now. I just found out. And I was going to Milwaukee. I had to go to Milwaukee for one day meeting. They wanted me to come longer, but I said I can't because I can't leave my wife too long. And so I was traveling 94 through Michigan, and right before you get out of Michigan, there's a truck stop there, TA truck stop, and it's got a Popeye's chicken there. I love Popeye's chicken. I said I love Popeye's chicken. And I like it spicy. Amen. I mean, I want it so spicy it'll kill whatever's not supposed to be in you. Amen? I want it spicy. And so I was sitting there at Popeye's Chicken, and brother, and I was eating. I mean, my tongue was slapping me to death. Amen? And I was eating that chicken and had grease all over my face. Amen? And just enjoying. And I looked up right across, like right here, if I'm at a table, right across the aisle there was another table, right across from, and there was a lady with a cancer wrap around her head. And I knew what that was. I knew what that was. And so I raised my head at my meeting, and the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you go pray with her? Why don't you go pray with her?" I said, "I will. I'll go pray." I said, Lord, you want me to go pray with her? And I was talking to God, and He says, "Yes, go pray with her now." And I said, "Well, Lord, can I have one more piece of chicken?" He said, "No. No, go pray with her." I took that, wiped up, and I walked over there. I walked over there where she was at, and she had her husband was sitting there, and two children were sitting there. And I said, "Ma'am, my name's Evangelist Craig Bryan." I said, "I'm going to Milwaukee." And I said, "I was sitting there and I noticed you had a cancer wrap on your head." And by the way, I'm not glad she had cancer, but I'm almost glad she did, because that'd been embarrassing. You know, you go up and tell somebody you look like cancer and don't. It's kind of like walking up to a woman, "When's your baby due?" "Well, I'm not pregnant." Amen. But I walked up to her. And I said, "I know he's got cancer." And she told me, she said, "Yes, she had breast cancer." Boy, there's a lot of that. A lot of that. And I said, "Would you mind if I have a word of prayer with you?" I said, "I'd love to pray." I said, "My wife has got cancer," and I shared with her about my wife. And then I took my hand, preacher, and I put over on that husband's shoulder, and I said, "Sir, I know exactly what you're going through. I said, I know exactly what you feel right now." So I started sharing feelings with him, you know, what you feel as a husband. And tears started welling up in his eyes. He said, "That's exactly right, preacher." I looked at one of those little girls. She was almost like this little girl, maybe a little bit older. I looked at that little girl and I said, "Honey," I said, "you worried about your mama, aren't you?" And all of a sudden, I said, you feel insecure, don't you, honey?" And a little tear welled up in her eye. And I said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." The little boy sitting over there across them, and T. tears welled up in his eyes. I said, would you mind if I pray with you? And she said, oh no, by all means, please do. I said, give me your hand. Give me a hand. She reached out and she took my hand and I took his hand and we got in a circle prayer right there and I prayed the most compassionate prayer that I could ever pray. When I got done, I said, ma'am, I right in the middle near the end, I said, ma'am, I got to ask you a question. We raised her head up. I said, I got to ask you a question. I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? She said, you know what? Every night I sit on the edge of my bed and I wonder, what if I died tonight? Where would I go? She said, I want to know. And right there, I shared the gospel with that dear lady and her husband and those children and all four of them bowed their head and trusted Christ right there in Popeyes. What was it? What was it that made the difference? I'll tell you what it was. It was the touch. You know what? You know what? Years ago when I was assistant pastor down in Florida, this pastor called me and he was going through problems in his church and his attitude wasn't where it should be, you know. And anyway, he called me, he said, Brother Brian, can you go with me to pray with a lady that's dying, a Catholic lady that's dying with cancer? And I said, sure, Pastor, I'll be glad to go with you. Well, when he was getting ready to hang up, he said this. This is what he said, brother. He said, well, listen. He said, I really don't have time to go see her. But he said, I'm going because I got these church members want me to go pray with. Well, that didn't hit me right. But I hung up the phone and thought, well, maybe I didn't understand that right, you know. Well, then we get in the car and we're going there, preacher, and he's telling me all about how busy he is, He said, I really don't, and he made a statement again. He said, I really don't have time to go see this lady, but these members just keep being on my back about it. And he said, I guess I'm just doing my duty. That's what he said. And I thought, wow, this don't sound right. Amen. This don't sound right. Well, we get there, brother, and there was this little lady. She was 83 years old, sweetest little Catholic lady you ever met in your life. I'm telling you, she was one of them kind of grandmas you want to take home with you. And she was the sweetest little lady you ever met in your life. Well, we got to talking to her, and the whole time the pastor was doing like this. He'd take his arm and do like this, you know. Well, finally at the end, he said this. He said, ma'am, listen, we got to go. I got a busy schedule, but I'm going to pray with you before I go. And this little lady said this. She said, Pastor, she said, before you pray, could you do something for me? And she said, what is it? She said, would you hold my hand when you pray? She said, would you hold my hand when you pray? And I'll never forget that pastor. He looked at that lady. He looked at that lady and he said, ma'am, he said, I don't hold other women's hand. And when he said that, now folks, look at me. I got a lot of problems, but I ain't going to run off with an 83-year-old woman. Can I have an amen? I love you, but I'm not going to run off with you tonight. Amen? I don't have that kind of problem. You're a sick individual if you can't hold somebody's hand. And I said, well, ma'am, I tell you what, I'll hold your hand. I just spoke up. I said, I'll hold your hand. And the preacher said, well, why don't you pray with her too? I said, I will. So I went over there. You're going to be my example. And I went over there and took that sweet little lady's hand. She was just like this. Sweet smile. And I said, ma'am, I said, let me pray with you. And I prayed with that sweet little lady, Catholic lady, the most compassionate prayer I could pray. And when I got done, at the end, I stopped and I said, "Ma'am, I want to ask you a question." I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure where you're going when you die?" You know what that little lady, she looked at me. She said, "That's why I called y'all." She said, "Because I don't know where I'm going when I die. And I'm worried about it." And she said, "That's why I called y'all." And right there, I gave the gospel to that sweet little lady. And she bowed her head and got saved. Amen. Now, what do you think was the difference? What do you think was the difference? I'll tell you what it was. It was the touch. Can I have amen? You know what I'm afraid of? Preacher, I've been in fundamentalism for 40 years now. You know what I'm afraid is going on in our churches today? Are you ready? We've lost the touch. We don't know how to touch people. We don't know how to reach out, and I'm fundamental. I'm down the line. I think men, women don't look like women. Amen. I'm old King James. Amen. I'm standing right by the line on everything. But I'm gonna tell you something. We need to get back in touch with people that are broken. Amen. People that are hurting. Now, there are people all over this town that are hurting tonight, and they need somebody. They need somebody to touch them. Amen. And take the gospel to them and love them and care about them. Because you will never get God's attention as long as all you care about is yourself. Yourself. I was at a Cracker Barrel. I have a restaurant ministry. Amen. Everywhere I go. And I was at the restaurant, and this lady came to, her name was Rexanne, and I said, "Rexanne, did just what I did today." I said, "Rexanne, I said, we're getting ready to say the blessing. Is there anything I can pray with you about?" All of a sudden, it was like a water faucet came on. Tears began to flow. She said, "Preacher," she said, "Yes, please. My daughter ran away from home, 17-year-old daughter ran away from home 2 days ago." Now let me tell you something. Behind every face out there, there's a heartache. There's a heartache going on you don't know about. And she said, "My daughter ran away from home, and I've been coming to work last 2 and 3 days." She said, "I've been coming to work and staying up all night." You could see the rings under her eyes. And she said, "I am so worried about my daughter." I said, "Give me a hand." She reached out and took my hand. I prayed the most compassionate prayer for her daughter. When I got done, I looked at Rexanne. I said, "Rexanne, I want to ask you a question." I said, "If you died right now, do you know where you're going?" You know what she said? She said, "Preacher, I'd go straight to hell." I said, "Rexanne, do you want to go to hell when you die?" She said, "No, I don't." And right there in Cracker Barrel, that woman got down on her knees, right in the middle of Cracker Barrel, and got saved. Amen. What was it? What was it that made the difference? I'll tell you what it was. It was the touch. It was the touch. And I'm going to tell you, until you become a church that's in touch with people, you'll never get God's attention. Amen? You'll never get God's attention. One more story and I'm done. I could give you hundreds. I see it every week. I was at the hospital and I got kind of bored, you know, sitting there. I mean, when you're there for 5.5 months at a hospital, you start thinking of things to try to do, you know. And I was sitting there bored, and well, I went in the restroom one day, and I was standing there, and there was a little rack on the stall there, and they put hospital information in it. You know, they put hospital information. And all of a sudden, I said, "Hey, look at there. Look at there. They got track racks in here. Track racks in here." So I called the maintenance man, head man, maintenance man of the hospital. I led him to Christ. He came in there and I said, Billy, listen, I need you to do something for me. He said, what is it, preacher? I said, I need a map of all the bathrooms of the hospital. And I'll never forget, he looked at me. He said, preacher, you got a problem? I said, don't worry about it. Amen. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I need you to give me a map of all the bathrooms in the University of Michigan Hospital, and I'm going to go stock them up. And I've got a lady nearby that she'll come and do the women's bathroom, and I'm going to do the men. He said, well, don't you tell them I gave you this map. I'll get in trouble. I said, okay. So he did. There was 131 bathrooms in that hospital. I have never seen so many. It's a big hospital. Well, it took us all day. But every week when I'd go back to my church, I'd stock up. We had a little plastic container. She had a little plastic container. And we'd fill it up with gospel tract. And we'd go around and stock up those things. It wasn't long I started receiving letters. People receiving Christ as their Savior. And we'd take all day, go bathroom to bathroom. Can you imagine people seeing us coming out of all them bathrooms? Amen. But we go bathroom. Hey, but listen to this. One day I walked in, and there was a black boy standing there with his back to me, and he had a tract. He was reading a tract. He was reading a gospel tract. And he was reading that gospel tract. And I stood back and watched him as he read that tract. It wasn't long I saw him bow his head and pray that prayer and receive Christ as his Savior. After he got saved, I went over there and tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around, and he had the biggest grin on his face I have ever seen in my life. He was 12 years old. I said, son, did you read that tract? He said, I sure did. And I said, well, did you pray that prayer on there? Did you ask Jesus to come in your heart? He said, I sure did. I said, where are you going now when you die? He said, I'm going to heaven. He was so excited about it. I mean, that boy was grinning from ear to ear. And I said, well, what are you doing here? He said, I got a brain tumor. He said, I got a brain tumor. And he said, I've got cancer 3 places in my spine. They give me 8 months to live. A 12-year-old boy. And I said, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. He said, no, it's okay. I'm going to heaven now. He said, I'm going to heaven. He said, I'm going to go tell my mama. And he started walking. I said, wait a minute. My name was on that track. I said, hey. I said, turn that track over. I said, see that name on there? He said, yeah. I said, you know who that is? He said, no. I said, that's me. He didn't care. He just walked out. Amen. You know why he got the greatest name of all? Amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Hey, can I tell you something? There's how many more people out there like that? How many more people are out there in this city that need? Don't you want to get God's attention? Amen. I'll tell you, that's why He died for people. Amen. He went around touching everybody. Amen. And healing people and casting out demons and helping people. I'm telling you tonight, hey, why don't you decide you're going to be a church to get God's attention? Amen. And really reach out and touch it. Press on. Push on. Hey, fall at His feet and say, God, we need You. Amen. And live by faith and believe God. And watch God do something great in your church. Amen. I was preaching at a church, and I ended up preaching at a church in Missouri, Pastor. I preached this message right here. Church had gone down to about 40 people. Used to run a couple hundred. In the church, had gone down to about 40 people. I was preaching this message, and right near the end of the message, a pastor and his wife were sitting over here on this side, the pastor of the church. He jumped up in the middle of the service, came running to the altar, literally slid into the altar, wailing out to God. So I asked some men, I said, men, give me a couple men to come pray with their pastor. They came down there and prayed with him. He stood up and he said this. This is what he said. I got a confession to make, preacher. I get worried when pastors make confessions. Amen. But I thought something bad had happened. And this is what he said. He said, I got a confession to make to my people. He said, I started this church 21 years ago. 21 years ago, he said, I started this church. But for the last 7 years, now listen to this, the last 7 years, I have not won anybody to Christ. He said, I have not even witnessed to one person in the last 7 years. On Thursday night, they had their soul winning. He would show up and he'd tell them, I got to go to the hospital or I got to go visit somebody else. And he would go home. He did that for 7 years. That's why his church was dying. His church was dying. The people didn't know it. They didn't know it. But he said this, and he was weeping. He said, but tonight, God got a hold of my heart. And he said, I'm sorry, but tonight that is changing. And I'm going out there tonight, and I'm going to touch somebody right now. He grabbed a handful of tracts. He took his New Testament. About five other people followed him out the door. And they went out that night and won like 15 people to Christ that night. Can I tell you something? I just preached not long ago for them. They're running 400 and some people now. And they're winning people to Christ. And people are getting saved. What happened? They decided we're going to get God's attention. And we're going to touch people. We're going to touch people. This church is not a museum. It's a hospital. It's a hospital. And you're to be reaching people and touching people tonight. God help us. God help us. Wouldn't you like to get God's attention tonight?